Warning, the following podcast may contain language that some listeners may find offensive or confusing or intriguing. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to the 3v3 podcast, your socially distanced hockey chat show. Here are your hosts, Cassie, Pat, and Patrick.
We're just going to come into this straight out of the gate laughing because it's an annual rite of passage.
Which one?
Well, the one that brings me so much schadenfreude. Watching them year after year hype up Matthews and Marner and Nylander and still even, you know, Tavares. And this year they fixed their problems, right? They got tougher with Reeves and Bertuzzi and Domi that was supposed to address everything. Except where their problems really were, which weren't Bertuzzi. Yeah. It's like,
wait, is this 2003 where toughness actually mattered? Toughness of that sort, I suppose.
You know, it's like every other team in the league is showing the Leafs. You know, I use the analogy. You can lead a horse to water. You could bend over and show the horse how to drink the water. And in this particular case, the horse looks at you, turns around, and goes start licking dirt from a ditch. And just continue to ignore all the fundamental flaws that they have. And it's going to be so entertaining to watch the Penguins run into something similar down the road. Because don't know how many more times we can say it. Number one problem, you have four players taking up half your cap. Four players that have not produced consistently in the playoffs are taking up half your cap space. One of them is so far on the back nine of his career. People are justifying his $11 million salary because he's been the only stable player at both ends of the rink.
Is this because he can't get out of one end of the rink?
I, Cassie, I wasn't going to do that to him.
I'll do it.
I got nothing in the world but sympathy for Alex Nylander. I got nothing but sympathy for Alex Nylander because Michael Nylander is his dad. But also William Nylander because he's, you know, Tuukka Rask suffered. And I mentioned this to us in the chat. Tuukka Rask suffered the same problem with migraines. And
Chris Letang did too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have too, but I am the furthest thing from a professional athlete. But
yeah, me too.
But being in a closed, bright building with lots of echoes, sometimes it's not the best.
Well, I thankfully don't typically get light sensitivity or noise sensitivity or sensitivity. I just get crushing pain. Most of which I can power through because I'm used to crushing pain once a month. But It's another story, I guess.
Dear God, I was not going to do that, but you went ahead and did it anyway. Oh, women are used to it every 27 days. I just can't, you know. It's a right of, at some point, I'm not sure when that point is. They're going to, you know, they have that uncanny valley thing, right? In human dynamics where, you know, the closer something gets to behaving and looking more human, the more uncomfortable it becomes to interact with it. And then there is a return to normalcy sort of on the backside when it becomes accepted or it's understood. I'm wondering when we're going to reach the point for Leafs fans in sort of an uncanny valley way that it's going to start feeling uncomfortable to continue to drag them. kind of like Cubs fans, right? There became a certain point in history over 100-some-odd years that it sort of was like, it's still, you know, the joy of doing it is worn off. Now you're just seeing these faces and you're kind of like, oh, human empathy kicking in.
Can I just say that this is the fate of all Canadian-based teams? Because there is a certain, we'll call it arrogance, when it comes to hockey and how it's their sport, and hockey will automatically be successful in Canada no matter where it's at, regardless. And so there's that mentality going on, and there's also, there seems to be something in the Canadian makeup which, unlike Americans, will just blindly follow their team no matter what. And here in the U.S., if a team sucks, there are so many other options that people will go do other things, and, you know, it'll, the teams will suffer at the box office. And that will in turn force them to do better. But in Canada, because especially Toronto, where seats are so limited for your average fan, when people stop going to games, people who have always wanted to and never been able to continue to go to games. So you always have people coming to games no matter what. And so it doesn't promote change. There's no incentive for teams to actually change. And this is why, in my opinion, no Canadian team will win the Stanley Cup for a long time, because they have no incentive to actually revamp a team and go for it.
Did you see Calgary's building?
Yes, many times, actually, but it's been watching HETV reruns. Has something been happening inside lately?
Towards the end of the season, there wasn't a lot of people there, and there wasn't a lot happening on the inside.
Oh, it's like when it gets nice outside, people want to do other things.
Especially when their team is poopy.
Yeah, that's poopy. Western Canada. No, it is true. I mean, it still holds true for like Edmonton, though. People will still go to Edmonton games. I mean, it's not as bad as it used to be, but it's still not what it could be.
I think with Edmonton, the way they gauge it is how high the 50-50 goes. You know, if an average 50-50 is only pulling down six, you know, just touching six figures, something's wrong. They better make some changes. Because, oh my God, could you find any province, any city in any province that loves their 50-50 as much as the Oilers? I mean, I know it's pretty good in Calgary too, but good Lord in heaven. They're making, you know, they're minting millionaires in some of these 50-50s. And it just, oh my God. Speaking of the Edmonton Oilers, boy, did the Kings coach blink today.
Oh, he's finally had to do something.
Well, the something he's doing is, and by the time you listen to this, it will be all over and done, and you'll find out that David Rittich started net over Cam Talbot.
Because goaltending's been the problem for the Kings.
Sure. We'll go with that. Clearly.
It's a problem for any losing team, supposedly.
But explain to me why it's the losing problem. The conundrum that has escaped most of the world.
I am vexed that Toronto pulled Samsonov down 3-0 and put in Wool. I'm like, really? Just really? You think that's the problem? Okay. Sure. If that's the last bullet in your gun to get those guys going, maybe it's time to move up from a pellet gun.
Slingshot.
Joel Edmondson in the year 2024 is playing defense for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I know.
Ryan Reeves is playing minutes.
Is playing period.
in the playoffs.
Yeah.
With, I really need to go and look at healthy scratches from the last game.
No, I don't think you want to. You might be happier just generally not knowing.
No, I mean, I'm not a Toronto fan, so right. It's not going to hurt my soul.
Right.
Or at least what's been left of it from everything else in the world. Good Lord.
We've kind of decided that it's entertaining to watch these people do this to themselves. And I'm you know, not to make this a rag on Toronto show, but I'm going to make it a rag on Toronto show for at least a couple more seconds for the head coach to come out and just say, you know, he didn't have a problem with their effort last night. I was just like, really? Okay. Well, I guess if you look at it in the manner of not putting out an effort is an effort unto itself, then yeah, you had no problem with their effort because there was none. Nobody could show you that they were over efforting, that they were expending too much effortness. I don't care.
Well, except for one player, because apparently he has a medical issue going on, which says everything you need to know about the team, really. Oh, everything has to go right for you just to win a series.
Hell, when, just a game in this series.
When you rely on ifs, you are so far behind the eight ball, you're already doomed.
If Matthews can score at the same pace he did during the regular season.
Didn't somebody tell them that playoffs is a totally different season? Has somebody reminded
Yeah, he's already behind the eight ball. Except for he's up on assists, I do believe.
Oh, yeah. You know.
He has two in four games.
Oh. Woof. Woof. I didn't know it was that bad. I mean,
he leads the team with 3 points in four games, tied with Bertuzzi and Domi, who he is subsequently playing with.
Oh my God. It just gets worse.
Mm-hmm.
So can I just say that Dupas would be an idiot to hire Keith.
Oh, you mean now that Dupas does have an opening for his AHL coach?
It's like let's not try to replay the past to try to make it come out a different way. You know, like so many coaches and general managers in hockey tend to do. Well, if I just had like total control, it would work. Or if I just had like one or two other pieces, it would have worked. If I'd only been allowed to do this, it would have worked. You know, and it's like, dude, stop. So you're not here to like, your job is not here to replay past scenarios until you can tweak it until it works.
So you're saying reduce, reuse, recycle in coach land is actually bad for the environment?
Could we hold off on the Buffalo? Can we hold off on the Buffalo discussion for a little bit, please?
Kind of, because it took me a while to determine whether the Buffalo people I follow in the Twitter land were joking or not. I'm like, they didn't. They did.
As
they did.
Someone who is consistently unaware of mm-hmm. the date on the calendar, I had to make sure it wasn't the 1st of April.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
is there any tread left on those tires?
I think there is, but Lindy Ruff is he gets you 80% of the way there, coach.
Which is fine if you're if you plan to fire him 80% of the way into the season, right?
Well, 80% of the way might get a team into the playoffs if they get another center.
If
we're doing there's that word again.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe if I'm not going to do it.
And yet Todd Nelson hasn't been able to get a job after he did mop up duty for one of the many Edmonton coaches.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I so want to do it, but I'm not going to do it.
Do it. Do it.
So when people start bagging out of Toronto, are they going to go to Buffalo just because it's they don't have to move their stuff? Really?
They can use a boat.
Fans can like that watch them play in Toronto can actually get tickets to watch
right.
them
play in Buffalo. Well, you would assume that this would be players that had any fans left if they bowed out at the first round again this season.
Mm-hmm. Like they will.
They will because glutton for pain.
Just because Toronto. I'm
John Tavares as a Buffalo Sabre does intrigue me.
How did
they handle his contract?
How did you know that's exactly where I was going?
Because he doesn't have a contract beyond this season. I'm sorry. He does. He has one more year.
One more year. Deal. Yeah.
But
his agent will start making noise at saying he wants to go to a contender before he retires.
Oh, ow.
Ow. You know it's going to happen.
Oh. That's pain, but I'm here for it. He's going to Joe Thornton his way to his retirement home. Did anyone get any understanding of why the hell a Ferrari was involved in the island?
No. Wait, clarification, in or on?
On the island, I'm sorry.
Okay. Just because we are talking, this is an international program, we could be talking about in an island.
This is true.
No.
I mean, is that not just the worst way to throw your starting goaltender under the bus by calling the other guy a Ferrari?
Is it so bad that Ilya Sorokin would want to be the Toronto Maple Leafs starting goaltender next year?
Oh, boy.
So there are two methodologies at work when it comes to, like, bad teams. It's the, I want no part of it. I don't want to be a part of that, like, locker room. I don't want to have to struggle with anything. I don't want to deal with it. And then there's the minority who's like, that's a lot of opportunity. So which side of the fence does he fall on?
Well, how many times have we watched players do the whole, it's been my dream to play here and help this team achieve something that, you know, they've never done in my lifetime. And I am so in love with this team. I had sheets and bedding and pajamas.
Who wants to go to a contender?
So, Ilya Sorokin for John Tavares and what?
Hell. No. The hell has not frozen over, Pat.
No, I think that it would be poetic justice if Tavares stayed. After all, he always did want to play there, right? Just like Patrick was saying.
Yeah.
Why should he get to bail when things go just a little bit hard? After all, it's his dream team. He's always wanted to be there.
And in a way, it's kind of his fault.
Yeah.
In a way, it is. Because age and stubborn understanding of the way things work. That's why, Cassie.
You know, if Sidney Crosby were smart, he would, like, go the Joe Thornton route. So he couldn't be thrown out under the bus like Tavares is going to be here soon, or if not already.
Cassie, there is this weird force field around Tavares in Toronto. It's really strange. It's almost like a legacy they're not wanting to tarnish. Or it's something weird. Like, he does not get dragged. And I think it's because of his, yeah, oh, Chuck's jolly, you know, yeah, type demeanor. The excuses early on were he was playing fine, right? Mm-hmm. Now the excuses are he's playing fine for his age.
No, he's just playing fine.
And then the subtext of that is for his age, because we understand it's
a subtext. Aging. Yeah. Let's clarify. He is 33 years old at the moment.
He should be in a walker.
1 foot in the grave for a hockey player.
One.
He will turn 34 before the start of next season.
Okay. That'll be the second foot. Once you hit your mid 30s officially. And you're a dinosaur. Even though in normal life, you know, you're fine.
You're not even midway through your normal life.
You're not even a midlife.
So there's this big, highly touted center who was drafted second overall, I believe the year before John Tavares. His name's Jordan Staal. Hmm. At least with friends and people locally, I would say I cannot stand the way this man plays right now, because he is north of 35. He will be 36 going into his next season. And he was the epitome of hockey, just completely net neutral. He doesn't allow most people to score. He doesn't do a lot of the scoring anymore, as someone who kind of tapped out around 50. But everyone loved him because there's playoffs success, and that's
reputation.
It's reputation based, but also the scales change quite a bit. Tavares was good last year in the playoffs. Yeah. He had a good regular season. This year, he took a step back, whether that was by design or not. 65 points in 80 games with all the different forwards they brought into that group, that's fine. But he looks like a very net neutral player to me, what little bit I can stomach of this Boston series. Whereas Jordan Staal actually looks like, oh, you clearly were just keeping things in the tank and not really working hard on the offensive end, where you look quick again, like you're 28 instead of 35. So the real question is, who's going to net you the best defenseman, and who do you got to give up? Because that's the decision that Toronto will avoid at all costs, but it's what has to be done. Sometimes it is that obvious.
Yeah, but that's, again, what I keep harping on. They don't know what good defense looks like. That's why they keep avoiding it. Everybody would rather blame the goalie. The goalie's the one at fault. The goalie's letting the pucks in. It's like, yeah, but who's letting the pucks to the goalie? Right? And defense is invisible unless a goal is scored against their team, right? But unless it's consistently one player that everyone can point a finger at over the course of a season, then no one can tell you what any of the defense does unless they score goals.
Well, who are you going to blame in Vancouver if the Canucks lose the series? Because I think they're going to play every goalie in there. in their organization at this rate.
I'm blaming Patrick. He's a witch.
But Patrick's not a goaltender.
But he's a witch.
One of these days I will use my powers for good. I'm not sure when it'll be.
All right.
If ever. Oh, dear God. I would like to formally apologize to friends that I do have that are Vancouver Canucks fans. You are still friends, I hope. It wasn't my intent to put the hoodoo voodoo on you. I kind of did, though.
It wasn't me. It wasn't the obvious. It wasn't the woman who did it.
Yeah. Getting
bullied. I don't even remember if it was on the show or not, but I threw out the question to you both. Like, I kind of think Vancouver could get goalied in this.
And it was on the show, I know, yeah. Because I listened to it and wrote the blurb for it. So yeah. Yes, that was you who... So you're both witches!
But are you a good witch or a bad witch? Linda asks.
I guess that, you know, just like with everything, it's perspective.
Uh-huh. You tell yourself that.
Damn right I do. Damn right I do. I do adore Thatcher Demko. I wish he was a goaltender on a different team. That's all I'll say.
Mm-hmm. Well, just be glad neither of you live anywhere near me in Salem, Massachusetts.
Why? What happens there, Cassie? You know what? You probably don't want to go into that.
Well, I do float, so I got that going for me.
Good.
Let's just hope someone figures that out early enough.
Well, you know, I do love a good outdoor barbecue.
You don't want that kind of no meat. Long pig is served here. Okay.
Just not. You know. Yeah, just, you know. Anyway, I'm really sorry. I mean, good on to Smith, you know, for holding the fort for that game.
But somehow getting injured in the process, and I don't think this has been confirmed yet, but it looks like the third stringer is starting tomorrow.
They're going to Vegas it, is what we're saying.
They're going to hope they can bake out. Oh, and you know what? It's not even tomorrow. I think they don't play again until Tuesday. So that may be why they are not.
Well, you know, going suddenly their way defense to say is things. Suddenly Vancouver's defense will be amazingly outstanding. That's all I've got to say.
So they're not going to start Tyler Myers, is what you're saying.
Maybe.
Do they have a choice?
I don't know. Is there a rash of injuries on defense for them? Oh, wait, did I just say that out loud? All right, that's on me if things happen.
They could put a sweater on a traffic pylon.
They could let Elias Pettersson play defense.
Has anyone gone from talk of the town to MIA as fast?
I was thinking about that when I saw a little bit of their last game, and right now I can't think of another name that kind of that happened to.
I mean, well,
no, because everyone knows their names, but it is not a friendly bar like Cheers.
And they're not really glad that you came.
No.
I mean, all the talk about how great and blah, 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 and now he's second line center and kind of, I don't want to say a ghost, but you don't see highlights. Previously, you'd see highlights, right?
You see him in plays. He's involved. He may make smart decisions, but nothing comes from it.
And I'm wondering if that isn't Tockett clamping down.
Which he regressed the second, I'll say the last 20 games. But I think the whole team did as well. Like, yeah. They were winning enough to keep their lead in the Pacific.
They were outplaying their abilities. Not saying they're not a good team, but
they finished as a 500 club kind of down the stretch. They were playing 500 hockey or just slightly above, which is fine.
It was about not falling out of the playoffs as much as it was maintaining some ridiculous chase to President's Trophy land.
Mm-hmm.
And is this the first year? Is this the first year I can remember in a while? And I'll throw this out there. It seemed like nobody was chasing the President's Trophy. Somebody just kind of fell into it. It kind of felt that way.
That's like all of the entirety of playoffs, right? Everyone, the season just kind of ended, and everyone just ended up where they stopped. And there was no, let's go for this, let's not go for, I mean, except for the bottom of the East, which
nobody wanted. And that's a whole other story, really.
Which nobody wanted until Pittsburgh decided they wanted it. But that just seems like it just seemed like there was a cutoff, and they all got to the cutoff, and they're like, oh, I guess this is where we're at then.
Yeah, because in years past, there just always seemed to be, you know, that one team that started running away, and they never took their foot off the gas, right? They were playing their starters all the way
through. And that was Vancouver for the first quarter to half of the season. And then they backed off a little. And I would say there was a group of 6 to 8 teams in that President's Trophy conversation. I'm not going to call it a race. Because it's like playing red light, green light. You just don't want to get caught.
And we wonder why by the end of the season, all three of us were looking around going, there's like nothing to talk about.
Yeah, the second half of the season was a slog.
I wouldn't even call it a slog. It was just there.
Yeah.
Because, everybody kind of knew who was getting in both East and West. And in the East, it only became moderately interesting when, you know, those teams decided nobody wanted it. And then it was sort of like the running joke. But I don't know. It was just weird year.
Mm-hmm. And so far, the best games in the playoffs have been out West. And when East Coast bias comes into play, how many people are watching those games? Because God bless you, Colorado. You looked rough in game one, but I think you've righted the ship.
Connor Hellebuck's going to look good in a Kings sweater next season.
What are you talking about? He's going to the Leafs. Of course he's going to the Leafs. What are you talking about?
Everybody's going to the Leafs. Everybody available is going to the Leafs.
And to get back
on the subject. Everybody wants to play for the Leafs.
I don't care if this horse is powder. I will not stop beating it. You know, the suppositions of who's first out the door in Toronto land. And the people are like, you can't move him. He has a no move clause. I'm like, are you kidding? When has that ever stopped anyone? Hey, right. Pat, who did the Hurricanes pick up on defense this season? For nothing.
Wait, on defense?
Yeah. Big, tall, hirsute gentleman.
Is this person bearded?
Very.
Well, I was a little confused because last year he just came wandering in sometime October 2023.
Right. It was 2023. Who did they pick up for nothing, Pat? Damn it.
Oh, this the year? Kuznetsov? Who haven't they picked up for nothing lately? Jeez.
Kuznetsov? Kuznetsov did not have a no move. Because they couldn't believe if he did.
Anyone yeah, this you know, year?
It's always the, like, you always get the guy who's like, well, I didn't want to play where I wasn't wanted.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It's like, you know, okay. So no move clauses don't really make you for not moving. It just makes you have control over where you move.
Exactly. To. You know, and if the team goes to Marner and says, you need to get out of town, tell us where you want to go, where you're willing to waive, and we'll go do a deal. Or you and your agent can go do a deal. Because that's the other thing, right? Mm-hmm. Is teams will give power to the agents to say, okay, if your client wants to move here, you guys go get a deal that's, you know, amenable to us, and we'll get you out of here.
As long as he understands London is not an option anymore.
Well, and that's what, you know, the conversation was, they don't feel like he's the kind of guy I'd want to bail out of town. And I'm like, yeah, but it's been 8 years.
Yeah. No, yeah. He's the kind of guy you just tell, we're not re-signing you.
Well,
if you want to go negotiate elsewhere, we'll make that happen. And that happens all the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because believe it or not, Leafs management, if they were to do that, you're not screwing it up. You have to do it.
But how much of Leafs management is going to be there next year? Or by the draft, for that matter?
All of it. Because the scary thing is Leafs management even going to attempt that? Or are they just going to change the coach and wash their hands? And say, oh, it's the coach's problem.
Well,
like they have been?
I can say... tick-tock, tick-tock on Shanahan. So he, if he wants to continue doing what he's doing for his employment, might need to step in and do a number of things in conjunction with his general manager. And the stat of the night was tweeted by John Shannon. You said, since they have drafted Austin Matthews, the Leafs are 9-19 in playoff home games.
Mm-hmm. You mean the neutral site games?
You know, lies, damned lies, and statistics tell you something. 9-19.
Well, you know, what was I saying last night, right? This is what happens. This is a classic example of a team that created their leadership group based on people who could score and not people who could actually lead. Because what was the thing? I mean, the thing a lot of people were complaining about last night on Twitter was that there's no leadership on this team. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's because they have guys that like can score goals and put up points and do that, and they got the letters. Not the guys who actually are natural born leaders.
And so, the ones that they do bring in, Cassie, are old as dirt in hockey terms, well, and they can't make an impact in the room.
And they're not even allowed to like be leaders. We have our leadership group and it's these younger guys and you're just going to like support them kind of deal.
Well, except for the guy who's wearing the C.
Right.
But he is the. Oh, shucks. Guy.
Right. Which isn't leadership.
He sets a work ethic and an example to follow.
If people choose to follow it.
Well, that's, I'm going to use the same analogy. You can lead them to lead a horse to water. You can show them how to drink. The horse is going to turn around and lick dirt. You can't help it anymore.
Which then becomes a management issue. Leadership and management are two different sets of skills.
Mm-hmm.
I just sorry, Cassie. I don't get the feeling Tavares drags people kicking and screaming like Crosby.
Yeah. And as a leader, you need to.
Sometimes,
There are times you can't, you can rule. You can lead by consensus, but only up to a point. And you can try to get along with everybody, but only up to a point, you know? And if you're not willing to step over that line and offend some people and to drag people kicking and screaming to what you think we all need to do, then what are you even doing there? You know?
It's like Matthew Tkachuk was right all along in Calgary. Remember when he was throwing his quasi tantrums because no one was doing anything, no one was acting or reacting? It was like a group of Tavareses to hyperbolize the situation, but it's like good players doing things, but what are you doing to change the lot that you're in?
Like good little soldiers just doing what they're told.
That just is like a great analogy. Except I don't even think they're doing that. What was it?
They're doing the bare minimum version of what they're told because this is hockey and they only do the bare minimum of everything and anything. God forbid you actually like step above and beyond and actually, you know, do things to wow people.
I got a DM yesterday from a friend of mine in Toronto. It was basically, you know, it's coaching. It's 100% coaching. Bieksa apparently lit into him politely during intermission, but he also said that, you know, there were really concerning face-off positions during a couple of their power plays, which is coaching. And then they started moving away on the power play from a possession entry to a dump and chase, which is another coaching decision. And I'm like, I've always wondered how much of that is the coaching's, you know, coaches making decisions like that is a direct reaction to players not executing on the way they were supposed to play. You know, if they are attempting possession and can't get anywhere or anything in, and it's not because Boston was smothering them, it's because they failed to execute. You know, I always struggle with that sort of fine line. You know, if coaches make adjustments, how much of that is a reaction to players not executing?
But there's also the question of these are all professional athletes and the older ones have seen a lot of things and they know what things work for them and what things don't. And how many times is it? And I've wondered this over the years off and on. How often do like players actually just not do what the coach tells them to and just do what they think is right because they don't agree with the coach?
That's kind of what I'm in a lackadaisical way. Might that not be the situation? where they've lost the room, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, not even lost the room so much as just a general disagreement of how something should go or be set up. And you just do the way that you've always done it and ignore what the coach has to say in that particular instance, you know? Maybe starting to lose the room or having entirely lost the room, I guess. I don't know.
Sometimes the concept of a 40-hour work week, it feels very archaic. And then I think about what professional athletes do in season. Sometimes there's too much communication, too much time together. And you just need a break from it. And I think these guys are overcoached.
But not in the right way.
No, even in circumstances where there is success, both personal and team success, they're still overcoached. You're telling me Bruce Cassidy didn't squeeze every ounce out of that team last year in Vegas? Whomever ends up winning the cup, whether it be, you know, a triumphant walk through everything, they're still overcoached. And we talk about, oh, there was the lack of race for the President's Trophy or the lack of runaway. And like, that's what we see out of coaching. The good teams, they just, okay, I'm taking the gas off the pedal a little bit. Like, that's the only difference we see.
You're overmanaged.
A little bit. Well, they've been overmanaged from the time they were 8 or 10 years old.
Yeah.
Oi. Sorry, I've been trying to spit that out while, you know, watching an unfortunate event unfold in the playoff game. And
you'll see it pop up, Namestnikov.
Yeah. I have taken a puck to the face in a very similar fashion once upon a time, and it's not great.
Well, I used to get basketballs in the face periodically, so which is not as bad as a puck because it's bigger and the pain spread over a greater area.
And the speed that it's coming, and then it quickly deflects. I believe that puck deflected, and it's just like, oh, good Lord. Keep the bubble on, Connor Bedard. Keep the bubble on.
Hope he's okay. Looked pretty gnarly.
Yeah.
Was able to make it off the ice.
Under his own power.
On his own feet, though. So
he was, seemed to be communicating immediately with people.
Yeah. So, you know, not obviously not intentional.
Right. But Cassie, to go back to your previous question about coaches or players just ignoring what the coach wants you to do, I've been working with middle schoolers, helping coach a lacrosse team for the better part of 3 months. Mm-hmm. Happens all the time. Mm-hmm. And given that some, you know, pro athletes, because of the way their lives are managed, they might have the maturity levels of a middle
school. 8 or 10 year old.
Yeah.
You saw that, Kelly.
With testosterone.
Yeah. Oh, that makes it 10 times worse.
So, yeah. Meanwhile, why does Vegas Dallas have to be in the first round?
Why does LA Edmonton have to be in the first round? I wanted LA to get some feet under them. Now they got to start David Rittich. Because reasons? Yeah, I get Cam Talbot has, I won't even say been rung up. It's the Oilers.
He's been Connored.
You know, yeah. You, baby, you got McDavid. You got McDavided. Another word, don't care. I can make up whatever I want. I'm a doctor of Seussology. I really didn't want that matchup. Good on Wyatt Johnson, though.
The whole last month of the regular season in this first round, from what I can tell, just not great. Matchups not great. Teams not playing great. Things not going great. Just not great.
Not great, Bob. Not great. And now Sean Monahan. Oh, okay. Yeah, we're gonna get out of here before I start my rant about visors, because not appropriate at the time. So, go team, go.
Dear Washington, let's avoid all sweeps, please.
No. Washington must needs have sweep. They
need to.
They need to be swept. Someone needs to sweep them. Do it.
Make sweep. do thing.
Do things. Do something.
Clean up the district in 2024. Nope, I'm not going there either.
Sweep thing. Sweep. Make hockey sweep thing.
Hey, Big Save Dave, let's make it a 2-2 series just for drama.
I'm fine with it. I would be fine with it. Except Pat, you know. It's not going to happen because they've been goalied.
This has been the 3v3 podcast. Follow us on Twitter at 3v3 podcast. We're available for NHL consulting at reasonable fees.